Somebody says, what about North Korea? And you say, what about them? I know what they're saying, but they're not doing anything.
Well, they're setting off test runs of rockets.
We've been doing that for 40 years. We like to pretend everybody else is bad that does what we do. I think we're all right with it. Escapism is a choice. It's not a mandate. And it always brings pain.
She's crotchety or whatever. She's not going to change.
She's working hard to be that miserable. Why take it away from her?
Think about the bad things you've done, and you say it over and over and over again, and then it's like, God, help me.
Every time you hear yourself complain, slap yourself in the face. Well, Fern, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you
doing? I'm delighted.
Today?
What's going on? You looked stunning yesterday.
I did? Wow, thanks. I mean, thank you very much.
That's
you know, you have to accept compliments. I've learned that, yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You can usually trust a compliment. You can't trust exactly. Criticism. Because a criticism is designed to make you comfortable to the person giving the criticism, which doesn't mean it's good for you.
Yeah.
But a compliment is generally well meant.
Or you have to know that person if that person is either giving you a compliment to try to get something from you or, again, just trust that. I don't know. But
it doesn't matter because all you have to say is no.
Yeah, right, right. Because we are not a victim here.
Right.
That's what's trending on Twitter now. It's the whiniest victim on Twitter, which they're saying is Trump. I know I'm always bringing up Trump, but it plays a large portion in my life nowadays.
Really? How unfortunate for you.
I know. Oh, my husband's always writing about him. It's kind of funny.
Well, and Trump's always writing, so you and your husband, Trump and your husband read him.
Yes. Yeah. So, but yeah, your lecture yesterday was magnificent. I could only stay for part of it because my son got hungry again.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about that.
But I liked it a lot. I liked the way it came together on dealing with reality.
Yeah.
But, and that's something I think we try to do a lot here.
Yeah, most definitely. I love what you said about you have what you think may be reality, but then reality, there's no skewing it whatsoever. So a lot of people may be going around thinking that they are in reality, but they're just pushing the envelope forward to bringing in fear and all that.
Yeah, my rule of thumb is that if I'm unhappy, I'm pushing reality. I'm ignoring it and I'm trying to push my agenda. Because as we said, reality isn't interested in rationalizations, justifications, explanations, whichever tantrums. Mm-hmm. It simply is what it is. If what I'm doing is in harmony with the reality for me at the moment, it will feel fine.
Yeah.
If it is not, there is no way to make it feel fine.
Right.
Except to face whatever it is that I'm doing and say, this obviously isn't my best call.
This couple just announced on the news that they're getting a divorce. I can't remember. I think it's Chris Pratt and his wife. And this young lady at work was saying, oh, I'm so sad that this is happening. And then I quoted you. I was like, well, you know, 51% of the marriages end in divorce. And you have to remember when people get together in relationships, either, you know, we can't stick to the status quo of, oh, we're supposed to be together forever and ever. But some people are meant to be divorced. And take that learning. Some people are meant to stay together and take that and, you know, go on with your life. But we can't put a one blanket over people that are married.
Yeah, that's certainly true. There's also a very sad part of that. And the sad thing is that somebody would have such a tiny life that what's happening to movie stars can get them emotionally upset. Because what it's saying is, you know, I don't like my life, but as long as yours is going well, I'll feel better about the possibility of mine straightening out.
Oh.
Without, of course, me doing anything about it. And, you know, it's like a while ago when we talked about role models, sports figures and so on as role models.
Yes.
That's an unreasonable expectation. I don't care how much money they make. Nobody has the right to deny them the right to be human. And if you're using a sports figure as a role model for your child, then you're failing your child. Or any other role model other than yourself, because you're the only one who can control what you do in your life and the way you behave. And if you are the role model in your child's life, then they have a safe place to be or not. But when you're using a stranger as a role model because they've achieved some degree of financial or notoriety, how cruel.
But isn't it like people look at stars and their lives and they also can look at it to where they want to go. And even though their life may be going a certain way, they can, let's say, they look at the quote-unquote bad things that happen, and then they can use that as a way to propel themselves forward.
Oh, it's more than the things that happen to condemn the other person that they were using as a role model until something bad happened. I mean, all they're doing is screwing around with reality, which we will not put up with it.
I was talking to these young ladies a couple weeks ago, and they're like, oh, yeah, this star, and I really wish I knew this star. And I was like, why do you wish to know these people? Like, when you get to know them, you probably, you know, they probably don't have anything to say, or you probably are like, I wouldn't even want to be your friend after you get to know them anyway, you know.
Right.
I just can't understand that.
Well, I can understand hero worship in the young, because it feeds dreams and it feeds hope and it feeds ideas. And then as the young mature, those ideas, hopes, and dreams morph usually. But when an adult is holding on to a public figure as a role model, I mean, poor thing. I don't know anybody that doesn't have enough of who they are in their life that they can't be proud of themselves if they're making any effort at all to grow. But I mean, there are a lot of people out there that don't like themselves.
A lot.
And having listened to them, I don't blame them, but it doesn't have to be that way.
So how can you go about, I mean, you were talking yesterday about how there's validations and changes in this world and a lot of validations. What did you say, like 100,000 validations and then 7 million change?
100 million validations.
Oh, okay. With that, like, I don't know if that thought process changes with either group.
What doesn't change is that reality is what reality is in your life at any given moment. The more you're willing to face the reality in front of you and work with it to the best of your ability, the better your life will move. That'll stay where your feet are, because nowhere else can you manage.
I guess that goes to the point that I brought up about, you know, joy. So many times, you know, you've told me, you know, stay where your feet are, concentrate on the moment, you know, see what you're getting out of it. And then it just feels like it took a long time for me to even grasp that concept. But once I grasped it, I was like, oh, God, I'm happy again.
Right. And it does take a while to grasp it, because we're raised in a world that denies it. We're raised in a world where it's always about tomorrow and the next thing, and what's going to happen, and where's this going, how are they going to handle me, and how am I going to treat this, and where am I going to go, and when am I going to be successful, and when is this going to turn around, blah, 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 blah. None of which is about dealing with the issue in your life. It's all about creating all of these smokescreen issues that don't really exist. So you're unhappy, so you get in the moment, and you look at being unhappy. You say, my job. Oh, well, there's the first step of a solution. Not necessarily quit it, but first of all, acknowledge you hate your job. Then take a look at why. And is there anything about why you hate your job you can change to your benefit? And what benefits does the job provide for you at the moment that will enable you to go and look for another job that you like better? When you're doing those kind of things, you're turning a negative into a positive and ultimately to growth in a new direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, just going around saying, oh, I hate my job, and I wish I didn't have to work here, and I can't stand these people. Well, whose fault is that?
Exactly. But
you ever ask them how they like you?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if we're in the wrong place in the wrong time, chances are we're not much more of a comfort to them than they are to us.
Exactly.
But it's the person that's willing to look at that and say, what can I do today about this? To acknowledge it, to see the benefit in it, to use that benefit to move forward, to find a new direction. Those are the people that are happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Deepest are never happy. The biggest dreamer can go to the most powerful Disney picture, and at some point they have to walk out of the theater. And if they aren't dealing with the reality outside the theater, the relief they got when they were inside the theater will disappear pretty quickly.
I think that's what, you know, for a long time, I programmed myself to do. It's like, oh, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And then it's like, it's gone. Where did it go? And then you realize it's just like, sometimes you just get tired of talking about crap and you want to move forward. And especially, you know, with me having a son, I want to be happy for my son. And he's the best at, like, getting you to stay focused and be exactly where you are. It's really amazing because even, like, when he eats, he stops and he's like, And you could just see him tasting everything and the texture, and I just love that.
Well, and if you're in the moment, which comes from dealing with the reality in front of you, you can enjoy that. You can be there with him.
But that's also not denying the limitations or the things that are, you know, that families go through with, you know, money and stress and other things. And that's
what about that?
When, well, it happens. It happens. But what, like you were saying yesterday, well, what's the reality about it? Okay, well, you have bills. You have things that happen. It's how you react to them, I think, that
propels. Well, first of all, you have to accept the reality. You know, most people who go to a therapist, to go to a counselor, or go to a professional in some field or another, are always shocked when the reality of their situation is mentioned. Oh, it can't be that bad. Oh, I'm sure it's not that bad. I mean, I can't. Yeah, it can be. And yes, you are, because you've been ignoring it. How many times have you had a parent excuse the behavior of a child by saying, oh, she's not done that before. Oh, that's what something happens. I wonder what, that's a lie. This little girl is like that, a little boy is like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Parents just hasn't wanted to deal with it. And so they pretend it's gone away. And then when it shows up in public, they're kind of stuck.
Oh, I know. Me and Bill were just talking about
that. We dodge reality. We pay the price at some point.
And it's a hard reality. It is.
And the reality is that it won't give in just because you don't like it.
But what about, like, on a spiritual level, on, like, a larger group? Like, the reality of, you know, North Korea says that they're not going to use their nuclear bombs, but only on the U.S. Okay, well, that's a reality. But as far as like a...
No? No, it's just a threat.
Okay, but isn't that...
You've elected people to take care of that threat.
Oh, got it.
And worrying about things over which you have no control and over which you have no input is a waste of time. It's just a way of escaping things you don't want to look at in your own life. Could, should, might, ought to, have to, must are non-words. And if you're using those words, you're living in a fool's paradise. Somebody says, what about North Korea? And you say, what about them? I know what they're saying, but they're not doing anything.
Well, they're setting off test runs of rockets.
We've been doing that for 40 years. We like to pretend everybody else is bad that does what we do. I think we're all right now.
I know.
I mean, the reality is they will or they won't. The chances are they won't. And people have become so unwilling to look at reality, they think that loud noise is truth.
Right. My husband, Bill, he wrote something on Facebook about distraction of A story and B story, and that people are getting so upset because we're being distracted from the A story with the B story. And he's like, no, I can pay attention to A story and B story. And I'm like, But it is distractions.
Escapism is a choice. It's not a mandate. And it always brings pain. Staying in the moment, accepting the reality in front of you, and taking whatever step is clearly in front of you to take is the path to happiness and self-improvement. Anything else is crap.
But Bill, there's a secret. I know the secret. Tell us the secret.
I just did.
Well, but everybody pays a lot for, you know, someone else to tell them this is.
No, no, no. They pay a lot to have people tell them how to feel better without doing any work.
Oh, right.
That's how they're looking for a silver bullet. If the book they're reading recommends they do a particular exercise, chances are 90% nobody will do it, and 10% that a few will. You know what I mean? In the 70s, affirmations were all the rage. Stand in the mirror, you tell yourself how wonderful you are, terrific you are. What bullshit? You're lying to yourself. You're standing there facing the one person on whom your life depends, and you're lying to them.
Wow.
Now, if you want to stand there and say to them, I think we should work on feeling better about this, then you've got a chance of change.
Yeah.
And then when you say that, say, well, let's write down what this is and take a look at what steps we can take today to fix it. And at that point, you'll feel better because you started to do something. And then each step you take, the better you feel. There is no reward without effort. People like to live in this delusional dream world that says luck can enter into it, or they might win the lottery, or they might do this or do that, or that will just turn around. Or that's fallacy thinking.
Yeah.
Where am I? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling that? What's the reality about it? What step can I take? Oh, okay, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
And so many people live in the hopes they'll make the problem so great they can't deal with it, and then they'll be excused. And find this often in older women and men who refuse to do anything to make their life better, but they want to complain
now,
about their life.
Right, but someone said there's this older woman who's, you know, in her 80s, and they're like, oh, well, she's crotchety or whatever. She's not going to change. But I was like, she's choosing not to change. She's choosing not to,
so,
you know?
That act means she won't.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to waste my time on her.
Yes. Oh, my God, I love when you do that.
And I don't care how miserable she gets. She's working hard to be that miserable. Why take it away from her?
So funny when you, so funny when you realize that, like, I could totally see in your body and your tone. It's like, they're not listening. I don't have any more time.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah, go away.
I mean, the third time you complain about the same thing, you're not trying. You may be involved in the same issue because some things take time to fix. But if you're actually doing something with facing the reality in your partner, then as each day goes by, you feel better about what you're doing.
Absolutely. I can absolutely say yes. That is
right. Chronic absolutely. Complainers are chronic avoiders. They're dishonest and don't want to deal with reality, and they want to complain instead in the hopes you'll feel bad enough for them to fix it.
And if you're the chronic complainers, if they're in your family, it's still okay to say bye.
Oh, yes.
Like, okay, bye-bye. Like my dad used to say, well, Fern, just say, uh-huh, and move right along. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I let go of my father's family when I was 16.
Wow.
I said to my father after a particular event came down, I said, you know, I really don't want anything to do with your family ever again.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, Bill, as long as you realize they're my family and I have to be nice to them, I respect your choice.
Wow.
He was an amazing man. He would have inspired me if he had said, I don't like them either.
But in a way, he did.
Get rid of them.
In a way,
you know,
he
but
did,
we
right?
Used him, huh? We, in a way, but he didn't get rid of them. He used exasperation as a way of releasing stress.
Oh.
His family treated my mother very bad from before he married her. And if he wanted to impress me, he could have thrown those jerks away and put his weight and his support behind my mother. What turned out is he kept trying to make amends and kept trying to make that part of the family work. So my mother was always miserable because she had to deal with him all the time.
Aww.
Yet it was her family that sent him to college and made sure he had something to eat and made sure he was taken care of and his needs were. And we spent as little time with them as possible.
So and that's
even
how she
people
thought.
Get higher of their issues.
Oh. Wow.
There's no reason to be unhappy.
No, there isn't.
You can be sad, you can regret something, you feel badly about something, but only for a brief period of time and then move on.
But there's also that cultural part of, or the, well, how I grew up culturally is it's like you think about the bad things you've done and you say it over and over and over again, and then it's like, God, help me.
You think of the what?
You think of the bad things you've done over and over again, and, you know.
You know, that's just common escapism. That's just ridiculous. Time and mistakes are the currency of learning. If you're not willing to spend mistakes and time, you're not going to learn anything. Focus on what you learned from what you went through. That's usable. But most people really don't want to put any effort into themselves. And the worst ones are the ones when you share with them an answer and they say, oh, I know.
And they don't
do
it.
Like, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
Then you move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, where are you going to spend your energy? Let's, you know, spend it. Let's spend our energy, you know, getting out of the fool's paradise and escapism and write down the stuff that we need to write down and grow.
Mm-hmm. We also have a very phony rating system.
A phony rating system?
Oh, you know, her husband devoted his whole life to her. And now that she's gone, he's so lost. As if it was an admirable thing that he devoted his life to her.
He had no life.
Cool. He had no life. Yeah, he had a medical background of sorts. And my mother suffered from Parkinson's disease for 13 years. And he was taking care of her. And I got on his case until he put her in a nursing home. And when he put her in the nursing home, he had to feed her. 3 weeks in the nursing home, she was feeding herself. And he could breathe.
I can relate.
And he wasn't doing it deliberately. He was doing it out of what he thought was kindness for her. And what he was really doing was feeding her illness.
Yeah.
So the place we have to start is with us. Because we are who we are everything we are, and we carry in us what we came here to do spiritually. And it's different from everyone. So our job is to look at the things we need to learn by looking at what doesn't work in our life. We need to look at things that do work and encourage and support them. and our life will move forward in a good way.
Sure will. So get to moving, folks. Get to moving.
Yeah, stop wasting everybody's time and start dealing with yourself.
Amen.
Every time you hear yourself complain, slap yourself in the face. Get back to doing something with your life. Stop being miserable.
I love it.
Another non-contentious half hour with us on our show.
Yes. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see you next week here on our show.
Look forward to it, and look forward, as always, to being with you and your husband. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.